welcome to Yip Podcast. This is Mary.
And this is Tammy.
Yip! And today on the show, we are going to feature an interview with Zia from OLM in Georgia.
Yay!
Woohoo! She recently had a workshop. She was traveling through Florida, granting workshops everywhere. She had one in Orlando and one in St. Pete.
She was the magical workshop dancing fairy.
But she graciously granted us about an hour of her time. So that's coming up, and that's going to be a fun interview. But first, what's going on with you, Tammy?
Well, Mary, while I was looking through Tribe, in the Belly Dance Drills and Choreography Tribe, there is a topic called Give Your Dance a Facelift. And someone posted an article, like a link to an article, by Jasmine Jahal, which was written back in 2004. So they're bringing it back. But it talks about just different things that you can do to your choreography to like revamp it or re-inspire yourself, such as changing the speed of the movement, changing the height, pausing, changing the shape, feelings, floor plan. She goes into like all this stuff that you can do. And I just thought it was such an interesting article. And even though it was written in 2004, it's, you know, way back 6 years ago, it's still relevant today. You know, while she takes those topics, she goes in depth into each topic. I just found that today, and I was pretty excited to just find an article.
You sound so cool. Excited.
Look, I'm tired.
You sound as excited as you can sound when you're trying to multitask, and you're tired and your knee hurts, and you burn yourself this morning. I'm sorry you burned yourself this morning.
Yes, people, I don't like mornings. Mornings don't like me, and I burned myself this morning. So, okay, no more negativity. Sorry. Going back to positive stuff.
Let's be positive. I'm positive that you were unhappy about burning yourself this morning.
I knew you were going there. Yes, I was. But I was very excited when I found the article that I just spoke about. So there you go. Because that's what I did at work today. I was on track. Okay.
So, anything else? What else? What else is going on?
Well, I don't know if you're ready to announce about you, I, and a friend of ours.
And, you know, potentially a fourth. Time will tell. Right. No, you announce it, Tammy.
Okay. So, you know, Mary and I have been kind of dancing at just local events here and there. You know, we did Fringe a couple months back. I feel like we've done other stuff.
We danced at one of the peer shows.
We did. We danced at one of the peer shows.
And we've been the Yip Podcast dancers.
Exactly. Well, a friend of ours has come to join us and practice with us and stuff just to kind of get back into dancing. She's been out of the loop for a little bit. And we came up with a name.
Because we need a true name.
So we're no longer the Yip Podcast Tammy and Mary dancers. We are officially called Crackpot Tribal.
Crackpot Tribal! Yeah! We're working on our secret handshake.
It's going to have something to do with a jerking motion and going, crackpot!
We might have a theme song as well, and we're definitely going to have a logo, so we'll keep you guys posted.
So, that was exciting news for us. So, we're Crackpot Tribal.
Yay. Cracked. They call the crackpot. Cracked.
So, that's what's going on with me, Mary. What's going on with you?
Okay, a couple things. I will reference my notes.
Good for you.
So, I know. This is the only thing that's keeping me focused. In a weird turnabout, I'm going to be talking about more blogs than Tammy is. This is like, God. It's like opposite day. I got a new email account, and so I set up my new Google Reader stuff. And so I've, you know, we were like, I need more blogs and stuff so that I feel like I'm in the know. Anyway, so I've started to read this blog called Naima's Belly Dance Blog by Naima. And the post that I saw most recently, it's really nothing about belly dance. I mean, she sort of ties it in because she's got away with words. But basically, it's a video of a guy called Romeo Dance Cheetah who is competing in an air guitar contest.
Oh my gosh.
And apparently he was the 2010 US air guitar champion, first place. Woo! And so this is his video. And it's awesome. I mean, last time we were talking about athletic male dancers, and he's certainly athletic. His collar lights up. It's awesome. It's great. So anyway, so that's not really belly dance related, but it's on a belly dance blog. So I feel like
I could relate to that because Dan entered an air guitar contest many a year ago.
No way.
Oh, yes.
I didn't even know they had air guitar contests.
Oh, yeah. And
how did he do? Did he place?
He did not place, but he got the crowd going for sure. If you've ever met my husband, he was really entertaining. Seriously, like real air guitar people, they take that junk seriously, and like they try and match what chords they would actually play on a guitar and stuff.
Wow.
Dan didn't do all that. I can't even remember what he did. It was some hard rock song, but it was very funny.
Well, on Naima's belly dance blog, the caption that she wrote was, "This video shows how all of these things, stage presence, costuming, audience participation, some other stuff, combined to produce some of the best self and music expression ever. Thank you, Master Cheetah. I take this lesson to heart." Anyway, so after I finished chortling at that video, I started blog hopping. You know, like when you're like, oh, this person follows these blogs. Then you get to a new blog that follows a different blog. And I ended up finding another belly dance blog called The Belly Whisperer by a woman whose name on the blog is Retro Callie. It is such a fun blog. This lady has a really, really entertaining style of writing. She's like totally no BS. She doesn't mince words. And she's got some really excellent posts up there. I mean, what caught my eye is a couple of her most recent posts are about the Sadie and Kaya. You know, there's like all these Sadie and Kaya debates going on now. Should we support him? Should we not? Were we happy they were on it? Are we not happy they were on it? La, 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 la. Oh, the drama of their past and bad decisions. So she posts on that. I was having such a good time reading her blog. I kept scrolling down. There were some other really, really good posts in there. Definitely go check out The Belly Whisperer. But my favorite post was from July 20th. She posts pretty frequently. And it was titled, "Unsolved Mysteries of Belly Dance." And it was like so funny. So funny. Oh, like one of her unsolved mysteries was, "I know Rakshaki is the authentic terminal, but all it does is make me think of sharks." And then my favorite, because I gather that she is a more Egyptian / cabaret / traditional / whatever dancer, because her mild profanity warning. So one of her other things on the unsolved mysteries was, "Are all fusion / tribal dancers badass? I'm just kidding on this one. Of course you are. Don't hurt me or I'll throw some glitter at you. You know they hate glitter. Makes them melt or something."
And it does. She's right.
It's really funny. I literally laughed out loud. Anyway, so check out The Belly Whisperer. What a great blog. It's like the most fun I've had reading a blog for quite a while. So
cool.
Yep. I know. Let me think what else. Oh, not a blog, but this is the week that I'm starting to talk about the book that I'm reading. If you didn't listen to the previous episode, the book I'm reading right now is called Belly Dance, Orientalism, Transnationalism, and Harem Fantasy, which is a mouthful.
For reals.
For reals. So my goal for this week was to read the introduction, which may sound like a sissy goal, except it's 27 pages long. And this is probably the closest to like a class that I've done in a while. Like it's like studying. For example, I'll just read you a little snippet, shall I? On page 16 of the introduction, it says, "A product of the social revolutions of the 1960s and its experiments with various expressions of sexuality, American Tribal uses the concept of tribe or group identity to provide a psychic space for expressive behaviors that permit men and women to explore movement vocabularies that are outside the standard vocabulary of appropriate male and female gender displays in contemporary America." End quote.
That's too much. I'd have to read that like 3 times over and then use a dictionary.
This is edited by Anthony Shea and Barbara Sellers Young, by the way. That was their words, not mine. It's really interesting and it's a lot of information. And that was just the introduction that I read. I mean, that wasn't, you know, but
that wasn't all 27 pages.
Right. Good catch, Tammy. And I don't want to dissuade anybody from reading this book because I've only read the introduction and there's like so much information. And I've got a book that I'm writing in as I go through and jotting down things that I either need, you know, want to look up more information about or am not sure what that means, or, you know, just sort of things to look up and things to find out more about. So I've already learned like a bunch of stuff, but it's not a casual read, but I'm interested, I'm excited.
And I know that you've also posted on our Facebook page and our tribe requesting if other people have either read this book or want to jump on board and read this book to do so and to provide their feedback as well. That's something I actually did want to bring up was I know Tribe seems to be having a slow death once again.
I'm sad.
I know. It's very sad because I really think Tribe is a wealth of information. But we also have the Facebook page, and both places you and I tend to post either things that are coming up when a new episode is posted and also to ask for feedback on our podcast. And we usually like are asking for specific feedback, not just like, hey, tell us how you like us. Although we love those emails. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Who wrote us an email? We got a fan email and it made us smile. Totally made our day.
It was Beth from Toronto.
Beth from Toronto.
And I know she's from Toronto because her email said, hi from Toronto.
You are a master of deduction.
Beth must be from Toronto.
Elementary.
She really loves the music segments and the wide range of belly dance styles that we talk about. And my favorite part, she loves the adventures that we have. And I'm like, whoa, we have adventures.
We went to Seattle.
Yeah.
I went to Canada. Very if I had known Beth then, like I do now, maybe we could have met up and become like best friends. But it was a super awesome email and it totally made us happy.
So yeah, so we love people just sending us emails. But definitely on Tribe and Facebook, we're asking for specific feedback. And one of the things that Mary's requested actually recently is the music that gets played kind of while we're talking, like background music. Our additional music. Exactly.
Well, you know, like sometimes there'll be additional music running all the way through and there's always music behind our voices. And sometimes, usually when I'm in a hurry to finish editing it, I don't put music all the way through. Yeah. So I was just wondering if it makes a difference, if anybody cares, if anybody notices, if it makes anybody happy or sad or you know.
And sometimes, you know, we just want to know that you're out there.
and I do like to get feedback on the putting together of the podcast. Like once Carol told me, I can barely hear your podcast when I put it on my laptop. So after that, I've tried to crank up the volume on them a couple times. I mean, if there are problems with the audio or how things are put together, definitely let us know because sometimes there are things that I can fix.
When we first started, we didn't have it in our podcast page for you to be able to click on the link in a different window. So Jody from Beachcombers told me about that and I went through and now you can do that every time you listen to our podcast and go to our website. Yeah,
it's the little things that totally make a difference and make life less annoying. So just really quickly touching on the introduction, I'm not going to get into depth because frankly I can't. There's so much stuff. I'm going to have to reread it just to really absorb everything. But the one thing I did want to mention is there's this one part that I thought was kind of interesting considering we're having the interview with Zia. There is a paragraph or two about the terms Gawazi and Awalem on page 5, in case you're wondering.
Nice.
Apparently, according to this book, I didn't say this, but I think we mentioned it last week, but there's a lot of documentation and bibliography and annotations and all kinds of like, you can tell that they've researched. So it's a kind of a book you can trust. Put it under your pillow. So in Egypt, there were two classes of female dancers, Awalem and Gawazi. And apparently Awalem were like the sort of higher class ones that were actually more well known for singing and just having this huge dictionary of songs in their head. And then the Gawazi were a little more low class, like they were more like street performers. So I just thought that was interesting. So I'm just glad that Zia's high class is what I'm saying.
And you'll know from the interview high class she is.
Oh, you'll know. Other than that, I think the only thought I want to leave you guys with from the introduction is that they referenced a lot of other people's books or essays that had incorrect information in them. Quite a few of them are from like the last 10 years, the last 20 years. So it just sort of reinforced the thoughts about making sure that what you're reading is really well researched. I know Letty from Copper Clock posted on Facebook, I think, about maybe getting the book from the library and reading with me, which is super awesome because Aletti's super awesome. Because it's kind of an essay format, you can definitely pick it up at any time and sort of catch up where we are. So there we go. So awesome. I'll talk to you guys more about this next week.
Fantastic. I like hearing it from you because you're smarty pants. And I just chill. That's pretty much my job. I just chill, hang out.
You run all the computers.
I do the computery stuff.
You look really smart when you do
Yay!
That.
I wear glasses, so I feel smart.
We both wear glasses.
Nice. Anyway, do you have music for us this week?
I do.
I would like you 1 week to be like, no, actually, I don't. So forget. There, let's move on. That would really throw me off, Mary, except now I'll be expecting it. Okay, sorry.
Try it in like 3 or 4 months when you won't be expecting it anymore. Our first music spotlight is going to be on the group Zap Mama, which I thought about after a previous episode where I mentioned them, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we haven't featured Zap Mama. So I heard about this group when Paulette from Gypsy Caravan came down to Orlando to do a weekend intense workshop thingy. And I learned a bunch of the Gypsy Caravan style moves. It's a while ago. It was like maybe 4 years.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a long time ago.
Just pulling that number out of the air, but it was a while ago.
I would agree that it was probably about 4 years. Yeah.
Very fun workshops. And there's one song that I totally loved. I was like, oh my gosh, who's that by? And we're going to hear 3 songs from their CD Amazon. And it's a really, really cool group. They were founded by a woman named Marie Dalnay. She was born in Africa and then raised in Belgium. They sing in a couple different languages. They've got a lot of French. They also sing in English. But they've got, quote, deep African roots, unquote, according to Wikipedia. They started out as an a cappella group, though. We are not going to hear any songs from our a cappella CDs, but I want you to know that they used to sing a cappella, which is without instrumentation accompaniment, in case you're not sure. Oh, see, I just sang a cappella.
All right, bring it in.
Zap okay, Mama. Right. The first song we're going to hear is called Eco Eco. It's nice, like mid-tempo song. And all these songs are like super groovy. And it's just like groovy. You can relax to the CD. It doesn't like make you get up and dance. But if you are dancing, it's like, yeah, we're just chilling out and dancing. Groovy. So Eco Eco is number one. The second song is called Rafiki. And we're going to be playing the DNA remix. And the third song is Wapi Mama, which is one of my favorites because it's got this male voice in the background, like kind of growling. It's groovy, as I said before. So here we go. You're grooving.
I was.
That's totally. So what did you think? Did you like them, Tammy?
Yeah, they almost have, I know the lady grew up in Belgium, but like I felt like it was almost like a Caribbean islandy sound.
Well, she like totally got into reggae for a while.
Okay.
Totally.
So that's kind of the feel. I like that Rafiki remix song.
I like the third one because the title has the word happy in it. Wappy. It's a W and then an apostrophe and the word happy.
Well, happy.
Wappy mama. Happy. And it's a really cool song. So that is Zap Mama. I hope you liked them.
Without further ado, we have our interview with the wonderful Miss Zia from Awalin. You're like mama.
You just sound like mama.
Southern hospitality. Okay.
Yeah, it's Southern hospitality, man. If you're not like getting fed, like constantly, are you sure? Do you have enough? No, really. Like, do you need some more food? Like, oh, yeah. We're totally like Southern hospitality and tribal clans like that too. Like, it's the teachers. We have food runners and a big menu book for everybody, but you know, specifically for the teachers, we put it together because before they go into their class, we're like, look in the menu book. Pick out what you need, tell the food runner, and no, it can't have peppers because I'm allergic to them, and all that stuff, and tell us exactly what time you need it to have, be there, you know, right after you get out of class, or, you know, right before the show, or whatever, and the food will be there waiting. Like, it's Southern hospitality. And, like, if you had enough, and we're always, like, every teacher I walk by, you know, every vendor, I'm like, did you get your food? Do we need to order a pizza? You know, did you get the stuff? Like, it's constant. Like, I'm just walking. Like,
if nothing else, you will not go hungry.
Right. You have not gained weight at Tribal Con. You have not had the authentic Tribal Con experience.
Other
events, it's like, oh, I just never had time to eat. And we're like, no, we got you covered.
There's time up in the don't fret.
All the wheat-free people, we like have pizza crusts ready for them and we send out for the pizzas. And so they're like Ashara and Mega and all these people. They're like, we get to eat pizza. And I'm like, here's your pizza. And they're like, oh my God, it's pizza. So I'm wheat-free and all this stuff too. And so I know how special it is. Anyway.
Yeah, and they're doing more stuff wheat-free now, but still not everything.
Right, yeah. It is. It's still difficult. It's definitely not impossible any longer. You know, it's getting more and more because more people have food allergies, which is sort of messed up. Like, something's going awry the world somehow because this is all happening, you know, so quickly that everybody's like, you know, all of a sudden having wheat allergies and all of a sudden having nightshade allergies and all of a sudden, you know, like, it just seems like it's...
Well, there's more and more medication for stuff. And I mean, I think before there was so much medication, people would just sort of die off.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, if you had really bad allergies and you got bronchitis, you'd just die.
Right.
And you wouldn't procreate and have kids who also had bad allergies. Right. You know what I mean?
And now we can take care of ourselves. And
just pampering ourselves into complete infirmity.
But I believe that there's no way I would be alive without... medical help.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I would have died at like 4.
You know? That's so sad.
But it's true. It's true.
Well, if you guys didn't notice or not, we've been talking to Zia. Awalin. If you'd like to give us your website, Zia.
The Awalin website is www.awalim.com, and then the Tribal Con website, of course, is tribalcon.com.
It's crazy, but it just might work.
So give us a little bit of a background on how you started in belly dance.
But my body was very messed up. I have bad knees, I have bad hips, I have a bad back, I have bad shoulders. I've been working on this from the bottom up, slowly working on shoulders this year. I had a doctor that was like, okay, you need knee replacement surgery at 20. And I was like, hold up, like, at 20, seriously, knee replacement surgery? I'm not like 70 or 80. And I'm like, there's got to be a better solution because I couldn't even do like low impact aerobics. I couldn't do anything. I spent time in wheelchairs. I had to wear knee braces to drive. Like, I'd always been in pain. My body's always in pain. It's just put together poorly. Don't marry your cousins. There's reasons for these prohibitions. You end up with bodies like mine as the genetic result.
Oh my God.
Like, my dad was the first person to marry outside his family in North Carolina.
Go dad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, don't marry your cousins. So, I've always been in pain. My body's just minutely put together wrong. Kneecaps too small, shoulder blades too small, just all these little things. And so I'm achy all. And so the doctor is trying to fix this, and he's like, you need knee replacement surgery. And I was like, no. So he's like, okay, well, we just went to this little medical convention, and my wife was, you know, going to all these classes, because there's always like a yoga class and a belly dance class, and, you know, all these vendors have little classes and stuff. She went to a belly dance class, and they stood in the class, and they stood with their knees bent the whole time. So he said it wouldn't be high impact on your knees, but just standing and exercising and getting range of motion in your knees while standing with them bent, he's like, you can't hurt, you know, you'll get strengthening and you'll get, you know, a range of motion workout, but you won't be having impact on your knees. And my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, was like, yeah, anything, because, you know, when I'm in pain, I'm bitchy. And like any of us, you know, if you're not feeling well, you're going to be cranky, right? And so I had a friend who also was like, oh, yeah, I've always wanted belly dance. And she and I were just both started in the SCA, and so we went to our belly dance class, and she dropped out of it pretty soon on, but it really made my body feel better. Like, I would come back and, you know, I would be pain-free, you know, when I'd come back to the house that night, and it was, you know, revolutionary to not be in pain when I'd been in pain for 20 years. You know, that's addicting. But I was a really bad student because I was also removed from my body because I'd always been in pain. I wasn't really in my body. I mean, I'd been trying to disassociate for so long that I really didn't have the ability to do all the things that they were telling me to do. And I didn't go to class really consistently, but my boyfriend would. We ended up moving really close to the studio just by complete happenstance. Like, I could see the studio out my back.
That's a sign.
Yeah. And so there's like no excuse, right? So he would literally take my house key and shove me out on the porch and lock the door. I'll open it up in an hour and a half.
Don't be cranky. Go.
Go. I'm like, it's for the health of the relationship. Really.
Listen up, belly dance husband.
Because we do. I mean, you come back with the endorphins and you're happy and you just hang out with women and you're like, you're having fun, right? But I wasn't motivated. Like, I knew I wasn't a cabaret dancer. Like, I saw the push-up bras and the slit skirts up the hip and all of this stuff. But they also were, it was a really good school. Like, the technique I was getting was really, really good. And they had the Jamila Salimpour books, like, in their little libraries, which was, like, a really rare thing to have at the time. You know, the finger symbol book and her history of dance book. And so I saw the pictures of, like, the ethnic dance stuff, you know, her tribal, like, you know, fusion Ren Faire fake stuff, Ren mm-hmm. Faire stuff. And so I was like, well, I just must be a Ren Faire kind of belly dancer. And so when I started traveling, my husband and I started managing Belina Bay Pewter, which is a company out at the Renaissance Festival, and we traveled full time. And so I got paid to travel the country and manage a booth. So I worked basically 3 days out of the week. And then I had 4 days to explore whatever city we were staying nearby for 6 to 8 weeks. And so, of course, you know, back before the internet, we'd get our, you know, Zagarit magazine or our Jarita, and you'd open up to the back and find what city you're near, and you'd call up the people there, like, what happens in your city? Where are the classes? You know, tell me what goes on here, because I'm free during the week, and I can come do stuff. And so for 4 or 5 years, I traveled around and made all these friends. You know, you'd come back the next year, and Juliana, I'm back in town. I'm back in Milwaukee, you know, come. But I learned new respect for my school also, because I realized, you know, through some really good teachers who were able to throw a lot more at me because I had a good foundation, you know, or just, you know, a bad teacher, and I could recognize that. I'm like, oh, like, my teacher really had good verbal skills, or my teacher, you know, really had a good foundation. And so then I would come back around to my school in Houston at Sarum School of Dance with my teacher, Debbie Shakira Masood Ali. And I'd be like, oh, Debbie, bless you, you know, like, I love you so much more now. And then we also found Zala Fereshta, who's the shimmy queen. She's actually moved down to Florida now. And we thought we were, my friend Val and I thought we were badass dancers until we went to her class. So she really like called us to the carpet, like, that's great that you can do all this, and here's so much more that you can do. And then Aguila, who now has a school up in Ohio, she was in Atlanta, and she was had a good foundation in Salempour before Salempour started traveling extensively. Like, she had traveled to them a lot. And she's also one of the few dancers that has a lifetime license to dance in Egypt.
Wow.
And so she really cleaned up my technique also and gave me a really good Salempour base. That's how I started dancing. Like, that's the whole, I know that was sort of a very long-winded.
And so out of all these people you've been able to study with, who would you consider your biggest influences?
Well, besides my teachers, my biggest influence in actually finding joy in the dance was the SCA, Society for Creative Anachronism, and I know y'all did a podcast on it. My husband was in the SCA when we first met, and I had sort of avoided it because some of my friends that had joined, I was just like, ah, yeah, whatever, y'all go off and do that thing. I never got drawn into it. Then they'd play music at night, you know, and it was just casual, and there'd just be a few people around the fire, and they'd be playing lovely music. So I'd always, like, you know, cook feast, or I'd do something, you know, I'd be helping out, being a gopher at an event or something. And then, of course, my body is still in pain, so I'd be really sore at the end of the day. And I'd hear the music, and I'm like, oh, if I could just get out of this chair, if I just go dance, I won't be in pain. Like, I know. You know, I would just get called. I'm like, I know what this is going to give me, and I'll go to bed, and I'll be able to rest and everything. And the music was just so beautiful, and all the dancers were so nice, and it was just, it was this lovely little community.
Yeah.
And in the SCA, and, you know, especially at Penzic, we have the, we call it the Penzic Petri dish. Most of the early tribal belly dancers on the East Coast came out of Penzic because we built this community. You know, we saw other friends, I'm like, oh, you like to wear cotton too, and not like the cabaret beads and stuff. And so we all clung to each other. You know, the people that are Zafira now, and Kafif, and Kassar, and Camille, who does rockabilly out in San Francisco and stuff. But we didn't, like, no, you know, it wasn't until somebody showed us Fat Chance and Gypsy Caravan's first videos, and we're like, oh, there's other people out there. Like, oh, wow, you know, like, we found our people. That, you know, initial, like, SCA joyful thing, and it's still what Awa Lim brings on a stage. You know, we're happy puppy dogs on stage, and it's still my favorite thing.
So we had on our Yip Tribe questions of, who would you like us to interview? What kind of things do you guys want to know about? And your name came up multiple times, I think, on that thread. I mean, it was more you than anybody else. One of them was Shay Moore from Seattle. She had said she wanted us to interview you. And her question was, how do you keep the energy and motivation when you are doing so many shows every day, every weekend of the summer in the hot sun? Again, from Seattle. She doesn't understand how the whole heat thing works.
Right. Like, that's not fun. Yeah, Ren Faire. Well, luckily, our Ren Faire is in the spring, so we had a slight bit of relief. It's still, you know, not climate controlled. And we did have some shade over our stage. They had like little shade net things. But it's still hot, and we were covered. We were in gumliks. A gumlik is basically a Turkish underwear, is what it originally, you know, a gumlik would have been called. And it's a light cotton shift. It was open down the middle, and a vest or a coin bra with it, and then pants and skirts and belts and stuff over it. So we're pretty covered, so it did get hot. And I mean, part of what we do is we definitely had to pull back some of our energy, because Awa Lim is definitely, you know, super energetic.
Yes.
And very technically complex and stuff. We And we knew that we were not going to be able to be that energetic and that technically complex for 4 half-hour shows a day. You know, we also had to have rain sets when we couldn't crawl around on the floor because we do extensive amounts of floor work also. So, I mean, we had to come up with lots of contingency plans for our sets. And so we just reined it in and, you know, did lots of just facial expressions and stuff, entertainment value, and which that's great training for the dancers to be an entertainer, you know, to learn how to entertain, and you learn whether or not you do it well or not. If you don't do it well, you don't get tips. If you do it well, you get tips. It's just really black and white. And if it didn't work, we took it out of the show. And, oh, but we really loved that part. Well, the crowd doesn't. Throw it out. And you know, at Ren Fair, it's, you know, we just did simple, crowd-pleasing stuff and rested a lot in between. Get some food. You know, we just had watermelons and stuff. We had a kitschy thing because we had the big, heavy swords, and so we wanted to prove that the swords were real. And so Susan did this funny thing. We have this great picture of her like, ah, and cutting the watermelon. So we put the watermelon out there and she hacked it in half. So we always had watermelon. Went through lots of watermelon in a day. Drank lots of water, sucked on lots of ice. Yeah, that's it.
Do you do anything else to support your dancing?
I luckily have a husband who's gainfully employed. By gainfully, I mean we're just above the poverty level. Being together is very important to us. We have always made choices job-wise that our priority is to spend time, you know, to have family time. So we've always eschewed jobs that like would keep him in an office till 6 or 7, or, you know, even if that meant now he'd be making $110,000 or something, if I don't see him, you know, then what's the point of even being married? You know, then I have a roommate that I might get to see sometimes because I work at night because I'm a dancer and I'm, you know, rehearsing or teaching or performing. And so if we can't have the time together, you know, there just wasn't a point to us. And that was one of our choices about working the Renaissance festivals and traveling, is he had had a job previously just before we got married where he was gone 6 to 8 weeks at a time.
Wow.
And that was really hard, and we almost didn't, like, the straight relationship got really shaky, and we're like, this is bad. Like, you know, like, this is not our intention. You know, we want to be married, as in the literal sense of married. Like, we want our lives to be intertwined. So we don't make a lot of money, but he does have a stable job. I do have health insurance because of him. I know lots of single belly dancers that, you know, have to do, you know, state health clinics and have to be on food stamps and stuff. It is not a job that it's easy to have, you know, to make a real living, to not to be above the poverty level. It really is a hard job. Artists tend to not be good business people also, you know, like, it's a hard thing to be both. And so I am lucky. I am very, very, very lucky to have a nice, stable home life. And, Tribal Con helps, the money wise. I'm good at penny pinching. So, that contributes to our pot. Because I'm able, even though it's a very large budget event, its budget's actually more than my husband and I make combined in a year.
Oh my God. Which had to be scary, I'm sure, to decide.
Horribly scary. When you look at that spreadsheet, you're like, seriously? Yeah, that's a scary budget to look at.
What was the first year like when did you decide to do TribalCon? Like, what sparked the idea? Oh, we should have an awesome thing. Festival.
Well, the whole producing shows and sponsoring workshops and stuff, I actually came to extremely gradually, which I'm really grateful for. It wasn't something I sort of decided to do. It was just sort of like a logical progression of things. TribalCon was sort of a set of coincidences. I was pregnant, and we had been doing Ren Faire that year. We don't always do it. Like, we actually haven't done it in the past couple of years. The management's weird. They like to sort of trade out performers and stuff. And it's been nice because it's like a big time commitment too for preparation. So it's sort of freeing not to do it. Well, that year we did do it, the year I was pregnant. And so I was all hot and sweaty and everything. And there was a sci-fi summer con that night. And so my husband took me to that after Ren Faire. It was, you know, air conditioning nice. You know, we're sitting around. We go to this panel that we're like, oh, this looks like a good panel to go to. I don't remember what it was. So he walks me over there and we're sitting down and we're talking. And I'm not really paying attention to the time because I'm pregnant and just sitting down. Is a luxury after having done Ren Faire all day. And we noticed that the panel never really happened. He checks the door. No, like, it's on the schedule. Nobody came in to tell us that it wasn't happening or that it moved to another room or anything. And we're like, well, that's annoying. I mean, I don't even remember what it was, but it's something we sort of were interested in, and, you know, we wanted to do.
Enough to show up.
Right. Enough to, like, walk the pregnant, tired wife over to wherever. So we're like, oh, we could run a convention so much better than this, you know? Like, and so we started, like, griping, and we'd call it BellyCon. No, we'd call it TribalCon. And then shortly after that, the Spark Tour happened, which was Jill Parker and Heather Stance's little combined tour that they were doing because they were doing some works together at the time. And so ANSA had sponsored them was sponsoring them in the fall, and they wanted to come through Atlanta too because they were friends of mine. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, I definitely want to support it. And so we're like, you know, oh, we'll have them come through, and that'll be TribalCon. You know, like, it's got four teachers, like, built in, like, you know, we'll have our classes, you know, we'll have my best friend Jas come do a drum class. That was the first TribalCon. My baby was 10 weeks old when the first one happened.
Oh, God. I don't even think I was still awake when my baby was 10 weeks old. It was still like a living dead.
It was pretty intense. It was small. I mean, you know, it was just Jill and Heather, you know, and they came and stayed at my house, and it, you know, wasn't that, I mean, it was a big deal, you know, vendors, and we had the stuff. It was held at a high school, like a private, like a hippie kind of private high school, not like a private high school. And, you know, so we held it at the gymnasium and stuff. And on Friday, the weather was beautiful, and I had the teachers walking around, and we were shopping outside, and it was lovely. And we got in the vehicle. Oh, it's, you know, time for dinner. Let's take them somewhere for dinner. And as we're getting in the vehicle, we hear click, click, click. Click, 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 click. It was ice hitting the windshield. We had been walking around in short sleeves. It was ice hitting the windshield, and we're like, what? What? By the time we had driven home, there was a full-on ice storm hitting Atlanta. Totally unpredicted by the weather people. A total fluke ice storm. We wake up Saturday morning and we are iced in. Atlanta has like a sheet of ice 6 inches thick encasing it. I have Rose Harden, Joe Parker, Heather Stance, and oh, was it Sarah? All stuck in my house with a 10-week-old baby, my husband, and a freaked-out sponsor. And they're all like, let's be really quiet because we're afraid Zia is going to snap. So they just sort of sat there, and their eyes were big, and their heads were down, and we're like, just don't make any sudden moves. So it was the weirdest thing. And so before the electricity went out, I was able to get on the computer and send out, you know, TribalCon is canceled for today. Stay tuned for tomorrow. And so we sent out the note. We got the web guy to, like, post it on the website. And electricity.
Oh, my God.
Which means heat.
Oh, God.
So no electricity. All day. Ice. All day. Lovely, lovely, calm teachers all day, which was lovely. And I sent them off to a hotel that evening since we didn't have heat and the electricity still hadn't come on. It sort of like came on for a little bit and then went off and, you know, they were working on it. Sent them off to a hotel and whatever. TribalCon happened the next day to ice crashing down on the roof out of the trees, which was like insane. Oh, we had been able to have the Hofla that night. That's right. We had a party Friday night before it like all had really happened badly. Majda was like a baby belly dancer. My amazing, you know, self-assured musician, dancer. If you can hear the music in the background that's downstairs, it's Majda playing violin. She actually made her way via MARTA, which is our train and bus system, in the ice storm on Friday night to the Hofla from like way up north Atlanta. And she was like 18 at the time. She made her way all the way there and all the way back in the ice storm to come to the party. She's a very dedicated soul. Anyway, so Sunday morning, TribalCon goes on without a hitch. You know, we cram as many classes as we can. We make the show happen at like 5:30 on Sunday so that people could like get a show and then like leave town. And we had had the show sold out. It was a 100-seat little black box theater at the school. And we had sold out the show. There were certain, you know, some number of people, I don't know if there was like 20 people or something, that couldn't make it on a Sunday because the day had gotten switched and the time and stuff. And we still sold out. People came to the door to come. So the TribalCon shows have always sold out. Even the Ice Storm one sold out. Of course, that one was 100 seat. Now we're like about 450 seating. And the event's always sold out. We only had one person that wasn't able to come to the workshops on that Sunday. Oh, with the ice storm.
Oh my god.
So there's only one person that wasn't able to show up, and it was because her car had been damaged by a tree, I think, during the ice storm, I think is what the story was, if I'm remembering. That's the history of TribalCon. That's how it got created.
And so is there any advice you can give to those who, even if they want to just put on small workshops, maybe not do something big like TribalCon, but...
Not right away. Nobody wants to do TribalCon. Don't do it. Advice to people who do it. Start small. Start with people that have a good reputation for being sponsored. You can talk to other sponsors. Ask which teachers were easy to sponsor, you know, which ones delivered well, which ones were actually good teachers. Some people are just good performers. That doesn't necessarily make them good teachers, you know. Find inexpensive venues. Don't worry about it being in a hotel ballroom, you know. A dance studio is going to be cheaper, and their teachers, that means they're going to make more money, and you're going to not have as many expenses. People have this thing where, like, it has to be held in a hotel ballroom and blah, blah, blah. You know, TribalCon's a convention. It shouldn't be held in a ballroom. But, you know, a workshop needs to get held in a dance studio. A place made for dancing. A hotel ballroom's not a place made for dancing. I don't know. Hey, that's the big thing.
And with TribalCon, I was going to actually be done with asking questions, and then I thought about another one. The way you have your event is different than a lot of other events.
Oh, that's what I was
going to
ask.
Oh, go ahead. Do you
want to
ask
it? No, you asked it.
You know, there's... You buy the whole weekend, and you pretty much can stay in the hotel and not really ever have to leave, except to go grab food or whatnot. How did you come to the decision of how you wanted TribalCon to be run?
You know, we were going to other events and getting sponsored by other people outside our community. We were noticed the Hot Southern Hospitality wasn't there. We'd go to an event and it was like the food was half an hour away and there wasn't any parking, or you had to like rent a car and go to the venue and do this and da-da-da. And like there was no time, there was no community sort of feel to the events. There was no concern for the teacher's food or, you know, welfare and stuff. Instead of just bitching about these things happening, then make an event where it doesn't happen. Make an event where you can walk across the street and get food. Make an event where they don't have to rent a car. You know, Atlanta's one of the cheapest airfare cities because we're the biggest hub in the U.S. So people can fly in and just take the train to downtown Decatur and they just walk across the street to the hotel so they don't have the expense. Dancers don't make a lot of money. You know, so there's not the expense of renting the car. Then they can just walk across the street and get cheap ethnic food. You know, the hotel's cheap. You know, like, everything was just that, instead of just bitching about it, you know, the teachers get treated poorly. They never have time to eat or anything. Okay, then do something about it, you know. Get volunteers that are food runners to go get them food, you know. We never have the right things in our hospitality baskets. People just assume, like, they give me wine. I don't drink alcohol, you know. It always gets left on the dresser, you know. Okay, well, then ask the teachers what they want to have, you know, what they need to keep them going so I can get a good product out of them. If they're malnourished and unrested and, you know, not physically and mentally supported on the weekend, I'm probably not going to get a very good product out of them. I just basically, all the things that had happened to me as a teacher and as an attendee, I just did the opposite. I just, you know, put up or shut up, basically. Not lots of dancers get that live music party experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to give dancers that. So we have the Friday night Hafla. We have the concert and the Hafla so that people can just party to live music and get that joyful connection. I'm like, okay, they don't have access to it. I'll give it to them. Here's access. Here's the musicians. There's the floor.
And dance. Everybody's invited.
Dancy, I mean, dancy. Dancy, dance. Bring your party pants. Give it to them, like, you know. So I just babe, really, I just put up or, you know, put up or shut up.
Oh, I have to go.
It's 2:22 and I'm teaching a workshop in 8 minutes.
Okay, well then, can we get your best yip before you go?
Yep.
Thank you.
That was awesome. She's so much fun.
Yeah, and just like, you know, it was really cool that she took the time out to sit with us because she just had such a crazy weekend. I didn't even get through all my questions. I totally, because I know a lot of people actually did provide feedback on who they wanted us to interview. And Zia happened to be someone who was very popular. People wanted to know, like, how she ran her troupe and that kind of stuff. And we didn't even get to it, you know, but she's such an interesting person and I would love to have her again. With that, Mary, do you have any more music for us?
No.
Damn.
I couldn't wait 4 months.
I know you have music. Yeah, so there.
Of course I have more music, Tammy. I always do, don't I? The second CD we are going to hear is by the Hicham Katir Orchestra. And I think volume 2 is where I got these songs off of. And it's definitely going down a more classical road. Dancing down that classical-ish road. You can tell because it has the word orchestra in it.
That always makes it classy.
It does. Although, in between all the sort of classical-sounding instruments, there's like some kind of electronic techno keyboard stuff in there. So it's an interesting mix. All right, so off of this CD, the first song we're going to hear is Alami, which I picked because, I mean, it's a fun song, but really the honest reason that I picked it is because it has these little zappy sounds that makes me think of the TARDIS from Doctor Who. It totally does. The second song is Cairo Night. And the third song, which I think was also a really fun song, is called Elila Far. And it has an H at the end of Far, so we kept trying to say the H and it sounded like idiots. Elila Far. Far. It's got a really great beat and it has that thing where the guys are like, hey, 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 and that makes every song better.
But not like, hey, 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 macho man.
I want to be a macho man.
Oh my God. Okay. So anyway, back to the orchestra.
So enjoy the orchestra.
Let's keep it classy.
Thank you. So did you like the Hey Hey song? Or did you like the Doctor Who song?
Oh, no. I like the Hey Hey song.
I like that song as well.
Alila Farr.
So what's going on around town, Tammy?
So in September, Mary, we have, let's see, September 3rd through the 6th in Miami, Florida. You know what's going on, girlfriend.
Oh my gosh, is it the belly dance convention down there?
Yes, it is the Miami
belly dance convention.
You're going, right?
Welcome to Miami. I should be, yeah. We have, you know, yet to see if I'm going to be able to actually take any classes. Aww. They're pricey.
Well, there are going to be a lot of classes offered there. So Tamalyn Dalal is going to be teaching, Natalie, Aubrey, Sherry Wheatley, lots and lots of people.
Well, if everything goes well, I'll be taking a class with Sherry Wheatley and with Tamalyn Dalal. If everything doesn't go super well, I'll still get to interview somebody. And if everything totally goes to crap, then I'll be staying home and crying.
Aww. Sad. Sad face. And a cry.
I really won't be crying. I'll be like watching TV or something. So don't feel too bad for me. That's okay.
September 9th through 12th in Las Vegas, Nevada is the Las Vegas Belly Dance Intensive. So they're going to have workshops with John Compton, Princess Farhana, Fatim, Ashera, Mariah, and lots of other people. And they're going to have... Sorry. I kind of like zoned out. I was like, where am I reading? Anyway. And they're going to have lunch, lectures, and they're also going to have a Vegas-style cocktail party, which I think is awesome.
Well, what's different from a regular cocktail party to a Vegas... Are there like showgirls there?
There might be. I don't know. I've never been to a Vegas-style cocktail party. It just sounds neat.
Is what's her name from Saved by the Bell, who's in Showgirls, going to be there?
That would be awkward.
No. What is her name?
I don't know.
Does she have a name?
I'm sure she has a name.
I don't think she has a name.
Oh.
You know what? If you're going to go to the Las Vegas, if you're going to go to the Las Vegas thingy, you should look at my uncle. You should look at my uncle. Tell him I said hi.
I thought you were going to say, you should tell us what the Las Vegas cocktail party is. But okay.
Well, that too. Look up your uncle. But my uncle lives in Las Vegas. And I'm just thinking, if a bunch of belly dancers walked up and told him hi, it'd kind of freak him out, which would be funny. So his name is Dave Cavazier. He's on one of the evening news programs as a newscaster. So if you see him, tell him I said hi.
Mary of your podcast is Lou.
I don't know who that is. Stop talking to me, freak. No, I'm just kidding. He'd never say that.
You don't know. Okay. Unless you're in that situation, you don't know you what don't you know. Would do.
You don't know. Yeah, so Uncle Dave, hi.
So let's see. September 11th and 12th here in Orlando, Florida, a Magi will present Gypsy Fest starring Dahlia Corella. September 18th through 19th in St. Petersburg, Florida, Daniela will be hosting Anasma for a weekend of workshops. Fusion from France to Florida. I like that tag.
I like alliteration.
September 25th through the 26th in Boston, Ombelly Company presents 2 days of Tribal Pura.
Ombellico.
Ombellico.
Those were our awesome people that we met at General Skills last summer.
Yes.
Because they're awesome.
And they're hosting Carolina and Mega. So,
and that's awesome.
If you're near Boston, if you want to go to Boston.
Be awesome.
Be awesome and hit up Umbelico.
Tell them we said hi.
They're, yeah. And you can find, of course, all the links to all of those events on our website at www.yippodcast.com.
Yep.
And while you're there, and we brought it up earlier, why don't you check us out on Facebook? So you can just type in Yip Podcast. And that's how you can find us. Easy peasy. And you can also go to our tribe at tribes.tribe.net/yippodcast. You can also join our email list. I send out an email every week about events going on around town. And what's nice about that email is not only do I post the events that maybe we weren't able to bring up in the episode because maybe we recorded it a couple weeks early and we have new events coming up, I also send out a monthly email with all the events going on. And now I'm up to like events in 2011, which is crazy. Also, just, you know, things that are going on with Yip, current items that are going on with Yip.
Exciting items.
Exactly. I'll put in there. So definitely join our email list. You can email us at email@yippodcast.com. You can Skype us at Yip Podcast or call us and leave us a message at 321-441-3933. And today in our episode, we had additional music by Beth Quist. And again, check us out on Tribe and Facebook and provide us feedback on, you know, how you feel about the additional music played in the background.
And how do you feel?
How do you feel, Yip
listeners? Let's talk about your childhood.
I don't know if I need all that information. I mean, unless you really want to share, but... So, on this wacky episode of Yip, this has been Tammy.
And this has been Mary.
Yip! This is the interview portion, Mary. Please edit in the interview.
edit. Tammy was doing a belly dance move. What was it?
It's time for our favorite game.
What move did you hear?
One day we will have to put that in.
Anyone? It was a chess circle. Anybody guess? Put your hands up if you guess chess circle. You guys were right.
What direction?
Oh.
September 18th through the 19th in St. Petersburg, Florida. Daniela is going to be hosting Anasma Linda. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Ferraro.
Linda Rutro.
Let's just call her Anasma. Let's go. See how this progresses.
May the force be with us. Okay. So you're going to keep an eye on that. And mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's, I say welcome to your podcast.
Holy crap.
I'm so tired.
May the podcast forces be with us tonight. Watch over us.
Wow.